Well, hey, let me pray one more time real quick, and then we'll dive into Acts chapter 10. So, Father, I pray that you would let it be so. That we wouldn't hold on to our own opinions of ourselves or the way that we've always done things or other people say about us, our past, shame, whatever it is, that we wouldn't allow anything to hold us back from experiencing all that you have for us. So Spirit, I pray that you would speak to every single one of us and that you would make it clear, so clear to each of us how we need to respond, that there's no question. Reveal to us what ways that we need to lay behind so that we can receive the life that you've called. To not see this as shame, but to see this as an invitation to life. So Father, let it be so. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, if you have your copy of scripture, we're going to be in Acts chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 17. And so we'll get there. But we've been studying through the book of Acts, and what we have been seeing is that the book of Acts, we're seeing radical, extravagant, Holy Spirit-empowered, yet everyday faith working through everyday people. That's what we've been seeing in the book of Acts. We're studying as a church family that this is an invitation for us to be able to experience the power of God working through us. It's not arriving at some sort of level of holiness so that we can get to this deeper level that God would approve of us. But if we believe what the Bible says, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we receive access to all of God. Now, do I understand that fully? No. But that's what it is inviting us into. It's inviting us into the fact that God desires to show up and be with us and empower us through our everyday lives, through our everyday interactions and experiences. And it is available to you and to me, for those of us that have faith in Christ. But the temptation is that we feel like when we read these things, we feel like this is so far beyond us. We feel like this is something that we'll never be able to attain, that we'll never be able to experience. And listen, from the very beginning of our time together, I need you to do me a favor and to not believe that lie from the enemy. I need you to not give the devil an inch in your mind and in your heart. Do not discredit what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. He desires for you and for me to be able to believe what he says about us and to allow that faith and that trust in Jesus to change us from the inside out. And we begin walking as his representatives here on earth. So why would he not show up through us? Why would he not desire to flow through us to impact and influence those around us? And so we're going to see the main idea of today is just this. It's super simple. When we let God work within us, he empowers us to influence people around us. When we allow God to do something in us personally, not corporately, but when you allow God to do something inside of you, he empowers you to then go and do something to other people, to influence other people. The way that you have experienced God yourself, it changes who you are, and you can't help but get other people to experience what you've experienced yourself. And that's the beautifully frustrating thing about what we do as a church, is that we can experience God. I can experience God myself, but I can't make you do that. And so that's what every single week is. It is a plea. Man, would you please avail yourself to the work of God so you can experience God personally? And when we would begin walking in that and experiencing God personally, man, the devil better hold his britches. Because he wants us to walk in his representation, to push back darkness, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be able to be the light of the world, right? The book of Acts is not for us to be able to chase these miracles, but it's for us to be able to chase the God of the miracles. For us to be able to chase that relationship with God, that he desires to be with you, to have a personal relationship with you. And as you grow in that, you begin walking in that power and that authority. And so it's an invitation for you to spend time with, to grow, to cultivate that relationship with God. And I think we don't do a good job with that. And so I don't believe that we've allowed our faith to become the core of who we are. I believe that we allow faith to be able to be an aspect of our lives. Listen, we're not going to experience what God has for us if God is just an aspect of our lives. But the call of all of Scripture is that we would allow the God of the universe to become the very core of who we are, and it influences and it helps determine every decision about who we are. And so, to give you an illustration about this, Ethan is over here, white polo shirt. Watch out, ladies. He's a stud, all right? If you take one look at Ethan, you can be like, dude, that dude spends time in the gym. He's like, sir, lifts a lot. I mean, he's like, whew, all right? But if Ethan were to come up, I'm not going to make you come up, but if you were to look at Ethan and then look at me, you could see there's a difference, okay? All right? And so I work out occasionally, and I look like this, okay? He works out constantly and looks like that. We can go to the same gym. It's the same gym. We can lift the same weights, although he would lift more than me, all right? We could lift the same exact weights. We could do the same exact exercises, and yet he looks like that, and I look like me. What's the difference there? I go to the gym to justify my life. I like donuts. I like nachos. I like French fries and chicken nuggets. I like to eat. I mean, so when I run, when I go to the gym, it is more or less this, I ate crappy, so I need to try to do something better. So the gym, exercise, fitness is an aspect of my life. So I'm never going to look amazing because it's an aspect of my life. But if you look at Ethan, you can see that fitness is not an aspect of his life. But because he goes to the gym, it becomes the core of who he is. It informs his decisions. So he's not eating the same things that I'm eating because he wants his time in the gym to actually work. So because exercise and fitness is becoming who he is, he's mindful of what he does, the decisions he makes, the things he does and doesn't do, how much he drinks and stays hydrated, how much he avoids certain things. He makes sure he goes to bed. Why? Because the gym has become the core of who he is, and it's informing all of life. For me, I go to the gym to make myself feel better about myself. True story. Is that not exactly how we treat our faith? So where is your relationship? Where is your faith? Is it like me and this casual, you do things with God just to kind of balance out, to make you feel better? It's just an aspect of your life? Or are you allowing the God of the universe and your relationship with him to affect the very core of who you are? And you're allowing it to inform your decisions. Man, this is a lifelong process, so no one's doing it perfect. But are you allowing it to become the very center of who you are, and it's informing every decision who you are? This is the invitation of the book of Acts constantly. Would you allow the God of the universe to show up for you in big ways? Would you stay connected to the God of the universe? And so that's where we're at. Today's main idea: when we let God work within us, he empowers us to influence people around us. And so if you're a guest with us, I'll try to catch you up to speed with where we are in the book of Acts. what's going on is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is spreading. And it is spreading all throughout all of Jerusalem, and it is going throughout all of the surrounding area. And God just saved the man named Saul, who will later be renamed Paul, and he just radically saved him. And right now, we are seeing through the lives of these everyday disciples that God is showing up powerfully. It wasn't these radical, crazy, they weren't chasing these big experiences, these big moments, but they were walking out their relationship with God in everyday situations, and God was showing up. Everyday faith through everyday people. And what we're going to see now in Acts chapter 10 is that we get the privilege of kind of watching a movie almost, where we're seeing the Holy Spirit working in one situation, but in two different places, and we're going to see them collide. So we're going to see that God is working on this life and the mind of this man named Cornelius, who is a Gentile. He's not of the household of Israel. And yet God is showing up to him and he's saying, hey, I need you to go do something and you'll experience me. And yet at the same time, God is showing up to Peter and preparing Peter's heart and mind so that there could be this crazy interaction, which is going to cause this gospel explosion. And so that's where we are. And so you can read along with me. It'll be up on the screens behind me, but we're going to start in Acts chapter 10, verse 17, and we'll just walk through the text together. So starting in 17, it says this. It says, now while Peter was inwardly perplexed, I love that. That gives me hope because there's times where I have no idea what on earth God's trying to tell me. Peter, inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean. Behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, they stood at the gate. And they called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down to accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men, and he said, I am the one that you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. All right, so let's stop there for a second. I love this because Peter is almost, he is the one whom Christ said, hey, Peter, I'm going to build a church upon you. So he's kind of like, we look up to him, right? He's, if we're going to kind of say, man, he's got it a little bit better than me. He's a little bit further down on the journey, man. Peter probably should be in this category, right? But what do we see about Peter? Even Peter is still making time to get alone to be with God. You don't outgrow this. Peter, he got away and he was praying and he had this vision, which is what we referred to last week. So if you want to see the vision, you can go and read a little bit earlier if you'd like. But what's going on is that God showed up to him in his time of prayer and began speaking to him. So why does that matter? Because God was showing up and he was trying to do something in Peter first. He's trying to do something in Peter. And so the beautiful thing is that this is a great model for us and for you and for me. We can't get away from the fact that if we are apprenticing after Jesus, we're following Jesus, we kind of have to spend time with him. And so Peter was in the midst of all that he was doing, man, he was getting away, he was praying, and God showed up in a powerful way, gave him a vision, and began speaking to Peter. Hey, Peter, you've been conducting yourself this way, but I'm about to do something new, and I need you to be okay with it. So Peter made space for God in his life, but then also there was this willingness to obey. So, you know, man, we need to make space for God. We need to have time with God, to spend time in his word, in prayer, every single week. But then we also need to take it further and be able to be willing to obey whatever God says. Right? I'm so guilty of this that I come to God and I'm like, God, I need you to work this way. I need you to do this, 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 and this. And then I roll out and that's it. That's not time with God. Right? There have been times when I'm reading God's word and I'm trying to pray, and then all of a sudden it's like the Holy Spirit shines this flashlight in my soul, and he just is like, hey, remember when you were a total jerk earlier? And you know that area of your life where you keep giving into and you know it's sin that you're just kind of turning your back to? What are you going to do with that? What can I do in that moment? I can be like, nah, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I can ignore, but if I'm there with God and he's making me aware of some things that are out of alignment in my life, is that willingness to obey the promptings of God? Man, what do I need to do? What do we need to do in those situations is be able to trust that God is there for us and he's making it known to us so that we can grow, so that we can heal, right? What Peter is... He made space for God to hear from God. And yet, if Peter wasn't willing to obey, he would have missed this huge blessing that we're about to read about. God's is opening his eyes to say, hey, Peter, you're a racist. The gospel is for more than just the people of Israel. And in fact, I'm going to send some people that are Gentiles to you, and you need to go with them. So God is doing something in Peter, and Peter is willing to obey. I'm still so guilty of this. This is how I treat my life, and I'm trying to get better. Proverbs 16:25. This is how I conduct a lot of my time with God. There's a way that seems right to Chris. There's a way that seems right to me. So God, hey, this is how I need you to work. I need you to do this. But if I continue to follow my own heart, my desire, my ways, and I make no space to hear from God, what does it say? What's the promise? But the end is the way to death. Okay. Same proverb, Proverbs 16:9. The heart of man plans the way. The heart of Chris plans the way. Man, I can make some plans. I can plan some things for God. I can tell him what he needs to do. What? But it's not me that establishes things, but it's the Lord who establishes my steps. So man, from the very beginning, man, just want to be able to hear that the God of the Bible is begging you to make space for him in your life and to be able to be willing to obey what he's about to do. If we allow God to do something in us, that's time and that's obedience, then he's going to use us in a powerful way to influence people around us. We can't get away from it. God is doing something in Peter. Let's continue to see this. Peter doesn't get it perfectly either, but he obeys. Verse 24. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. And I have that circled here in my Bible. I want you to circle that. I want you to cherish that. We'll get back to that in a second. Cornelius was expecting them. And he had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and he worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up and saying, stand up, I too am a man. Saying, man, don't worship me. I'm just a dude. I'm just a human. Verse 27. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any persons uncommon or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, why have you sent for me? All right, let's stop there for a second. So this man, Cornelius, he is outside of the fold of Israel. He's a Gentile. But he's seeking God. He wants to know the God of the Bible. He wants to know the true God. And so he has this praying life. He's been doing things to help support other people, and he's well looked at from Jewish people, but he's still outside of the faith. And so this dude wants to know the God of the Bible, and so an angel shows up in his prayer and is like, man, I'm going to send somebody that's going to tell you about me. And so then the angel tells Cornelius, man, go and send somebody to go get this man named Peter. Doesn't know him. Go get this man named Peter, and he's going to come tell you all about me. So try to wrap your mind around this. So now Peter walks into his house. And what did it say? It said that he was waiting expectantly. Man, when was the last time that you were waiting expectantly for God to show up in your life? When was the last time that you sat there and you're like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm here and I can't wait for you to show up? Those are some of the hardest times. But waiting expectantly, God, I know you're able. I know you're able. And then his mind is blown, and he's like, oh my gosh. And he falls to the floor, and Peter's like, man, get up. What are you doing? And I want you to be able to picture the uncomfortability of Peter. Praise God that Peter was allowing God to do something in Peter, because he goes with these Gentiles. And what did he say? Man, you know it's against my law before God to be able to even be with you. So he's like uncomfortable, and he opens the door and he walks in and he sees a whole group of Gentiles. So imagine how he was feeling. He was like, oh gosh, this is awkward. And then he says what? All right, I'm here, but praise be, God told me that I shouldn't be viewing you the way that I usually do. So Peter's allowing God to do something in him. And he's like, but hey, just tell me, why am I here? Right? He's like, why am I here? And then he continues, verse 30. And Cornelius said, and 4 days ago at this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. So therefore, send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. So now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So I'm like, man, God told me that you're going to tell us something. So we're here. We're ready. Tell us. And so now what I love about this is, because Peter was allowing God to do something in him, now he's ready to be used by God. Now he's ready. He's there. He's like, I don't necessarily understand what God's trying to teach me, but things are starting to pull together, and you're going to see the light bulb's going to go off, and Peter's going to be like, oh. Let's keep going. Verse 34. So they say, man, we want to hear what you've been commanded by the Lord. Verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. He's getting it. He's understanding what God's doing in him. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. Some translations say under the tyranny of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. So what happened? Again, this is kind of not an average everyday moment, since Peter was like, yo, you need to come with us. But he didn't create this. He doesn't even know why he's there. And he shows up. He's willing to be used by God. He shows up. And does he create? Does he like, all right, hold up. Let me come back in a week. I'll create a sermon. I'll come back and we can, you know, chop it up. We can discuss then. Does he say that? No. That's the part where you can interact with me, but that's okay. You missed it. You can get the next one. It's okay. He doesn't like create this well-crafted, well-thought-out sermon to get his thoughts together. What does Peter do? He understands what God is doing in him. He's like, man, I get it now. The gospel is for everyone who would believe, that anyone who would put their faith in Jesus could have forgiveness of sin. And then what does he do? He begins to speak about what he has experienced from God. He doesn't go down to the depths and worry about all the words that he can say and if he's going to get the right words out. He just speaks about how he has seen God move in his life. And he's like, man, we saw this Jesus and he showed up. We saw power, the powerful miracles he was doing. He was healing people. They were being set free. And then they killed him without cause. And when we thought it was over, man, God rose him from the dead, proving him to be the Messiah. And so then he appointed us, the disciples, to go and to preach that he is the long-awaited Messiah. And now I'm getting it, that the gospel is for anyone who would believe. And so Peter is just there, and the Holy Spirit shows up in power. The Holy Spirit shows up through his obedience. And what happens? Verse 44, and while Peter was still saying these things, it doesn't say that while Peter delivered the best crafted sermon in world history, it said that while Peter was just saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised, or the believers from among the Jews who had come with Peter, they were all amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was outpoured even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain there for some days. So what does Peter see? He sees God move in a way that would have really frustrated him a little bit ago, because Peter allowed himself to show up and allow God to do something in him. God blew his mind. And it was no accident that Peter was the one that we're reading about experiencing this. Peter was carrying the weight. He was kind of the leader of this new thing of following Jesus. They didn't even have the name of Christians yet. So Peter's kind of the leader. And so do you think it's going to carry weight when Peter goes back to tell what he just saw with his eyes among the Gentiles when he goes to tell his Jewish friends? They're going to be like, you said what? And the grace of God was he allowed Peter to see exactly what they experienced themselves happen to these people that he would have never thought would have been reached by the gospel. They received, they turned to God. They're getting baptized with the Holy Spirit. They're getting baptized in water baptism. And Peter's like, oh my gosh, what is happening? Now let's jump to chapter 11. We're going to read a few verses here and we'll land the plane. Verses 1 through 3 in chapter 11, they say this. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised party criticized him, saying, you went to the uncircumcised men and you ate with them? He's like, what are you talking about, Peter? You did what? Why did you do that? And Peter's like, man, God was doing something in me. I couldn't explain it. And then he goes and he tells, you can read it. He goes and he recounts what we just read. He says, man, I saw this vision. I got called over by this man, Cornelius. I go there, I preach. And then in verse 15, he says this. He says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them that he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, Who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Amazing thing. And what you begin to see, we're going to see as we continue through the book of Acts, this is a shift in what's going on, what God was doing. Now, all of a sudden, God had to do this in Peter so that Peter can open his eyes to see that God was doing something far bigger he could understand. And so from this point on, now we begin to see it's not just focused on Jerusalem. Now it's going to be going to the ends of the earth. And they're like, man, how do we get this message out? God was making no mistake, because who did he just save in chapter 9? That's a question. Who did he say? He just saved Saul. And so who's Saul going to be used to go and get? He's going to go and preach to all the Gentiles. So God was doing this. And so because Peter allowed God to do something in him, man, he was used in a powerful way to influence people all around him. And so now they're like, man, we can't deny this, because they're now experiencing what we did. Man, I guess God is up to something. And Peter's like, I wasn't getting in the way of God. So for you and for me, what do we get from this? I want to ask you, are you allowing God to do something in you? Man, and that creates, you got to create space to be able to hear from the God of the universe. And make space for him. Make time in your life for him so that he can do something in you. And as you allow God to do something in you, he is going to allow you to influence the people all around you. But something's got to happen inside of you. We got to make space for him. And so the question I have for you, what is God trying to do in you that you are standing in the way? Peter was like, man, I saw God move and I was not about to get in the way of what God was doing. So for you, for me, and what is God trying to do in you? In you, that you're hindering the power and the work of God in your life. What is it that God wants to do in you? And how is it that God wants to use you? But because of something, there's some sort of disconnect that you're blocking the ability for God to show up in your life. What is that? I don't know about you, but I don't want to get in the way of what God's trying to do. I saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 5. You can go look it up. I don't want to take them out, bury them. I'm not trying to get in the way of God. But man, we hinder. We there's so much junk that gets in the way of God doing something in us. So what is it in you? What is God trying to do in you that you're standing in the way? So for you, what is that? Is it disobedience? And God told you, he gave you a vision of something. He wants you to do something. And you know it, you feel it deep down. The thought just haunts you. But you just, whatever reason, you're just not obeying. That disobedience is that keeping you from allowing God to do something in you? And is there pride inside of you? Pride. You self-sufficiency, man, I'm a dude, I'm a man, I could do this on my own. I'm a strong woman. I could do this on my own. Are you trying to do something on your own that God wants to do on your behalf? Is there pride in the way? How about shame? Shame, regret, sin that you've given yourself over to in the past. And no matter what you do, you're just allowing just the thought of this thing to be able to be too big in your life. You've allowed that shame, that regret, that pain to be the God of your life. Man, find freedom today. Find freedom today. Don't allow that thing to hold you back anymore. Man, the blood of Jesus gives forgiveness, and you're no longer defined by all that junk anymore. So would you walk in the way that God is defining you and stop allowing that shame to hold you back? What about continual sin? Get this sin that, and you want to just give over, and you feel convicted from time to time when we're in worship services, and you're like, man, I got to turn this, I got to pray, I got to confess, I got to repent. But for whatever reason, you just are not finding that freedom, that invitation to life. Man, today, allow today to be the breakthrough day in your life that you're not going to allow that sin to be the thing that holds you back. God wants to do something powerful in you. He wants to bring freedom. He wants you to experience his love. He wants you to experience joy. What is blocking that? What are you allowing to get in the way? And so we're going to take time and sing. We've got these two songs. These are going to be great declaration songs of the victory of Jesus on our behalf. That's the beautiful thing, that we can celebrate the fact that we have a risen Savior. There's a pastor, Joby Martin, that I love to listen to. And he says, man, if the tomb is empty, anything is possible. Guess what? The tomb is empty. So therefore what? Man, anything is possible. So man, would we press in and allow God to be the defining person in our lives? Would we allow him to be able to do something in us and not allow anything to hold us back? If you need to just sit and you just need to pray, you need to turn up, you need to sit down and you need to pray and talk to God. If you'd like somebody to pray with you and talk with you, you got something you'd like to confess, whatever, you want freedom, you're like, man, I feel it, but I don't even know what I gotta say. Would you just pray for me? I'll be right up over here. I'll pray with you. Don't be content with allowing the enemy to hold you back. What's holding you back from experiencing God in your life? Man, let's get that thing out of here. And let's allow God to do something in us so we can begin experiencing him work through us to influence the people around us. Man, praise be to God that Peter is a great example of that, because he allowed God to do something and now this whole new avenue of people are coming to the Lord. So man, let's follow his example. Maybe you're here today and you need to actually receive faith. Maybe you're like Cornelius and you know about God, you're a religious person, and there's just a disconnect in your life. Man, today might be the day. You come, you receive the Lord Jesus. As Peter proclaimed powerfully, that because Jesus rose from the grave, if you would put your faith in him, there is forgiveness for anyone who would believe. So let today be the day. So let's pray, let's respond to how the God of the universe is tapping on you. So Father, I thank you for who you are. And Jesus, we thank you that you are the risen Lord, that you are the King of Kings. And so Father, where we have allowed things to hold us back, I pray that in your name, that strongholds would break, that addictions would be dissolved and diminished, that relationships would be restored, that we and our view of ourselves, we would stop allowing that to hold us back from pursuing you, but that we would be able to come before you and say, God, thank you. Would you just do something in me? So whatever it is that's holding us back, whatever is hindering us, however we're getting in your way from doing something in us, I pray that you would give us the grace to put that stuff behind us and to see ourselves the way that you see us, to find strength that we need, to find forgiveness, to find restoration, to find love. So Father, work in us and through us now. In your name we pray. Amen.